I'm Lisa DeLay, and you're listening to the Spark My Muse podcast. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Soul School Lesson 43. I am just getting back from a really wonderful writer's retreat at God's Whisper Farm with Andy Cumbo Floyd and her husband, Philip, and the whole crew that helped, whether it was family and or friends. There was a large group of help and staff, and such a great group of creative writers that came along. The connections were wonderful. I highly recommend Andy Cumbo Floyd as a person to help you with your writing or your editing, or to go to her wonderful farm for a retreat. So big shout out to Andy. And for any of you listening, if you met me at the retreat, hello and welcome to the show. Today on Spark My Muse, before I get started, there's something new I want to try on Spark My Muse as a way to bring something new, spark something new and imaginative and useful. So if you've been listening to the show for a while, or you just have a question about spiritual formation or about God, or just some burning question, maybe about healing or relationships or how the brain works, I don't have all the answers, of course, but I read a lot and I have a lot of connections. And if you would like to leave a message on my message service that I could edit into the show, I'm going to pick a few messages to feature in a future podcast on Soul School. And you can leave a message at 608-957-7275. I'll repeat that again. 608-957-7275, and just leave a message for me. I'll put it into the show and we'll tackle it together and see how it goes, see if you find that interesting. The other thing I'd like to ask is that you would support the show financially. It gets expensive with all these audio files and doing it twice a week. So if you can support the show for any amount a month or just a one-time gift, I would deeply appreciate it. There is always a donate button for the show notes of each lesson at sparkmymuse.com. There's a PayPal button there. Or if you want to support monthly, you can go to patreon.com/sparkmymuse. That makes such a big difference as I try to produce this twice a week. And now on to the show, the nugget of the show. And this time it's something quite unusual that I've ever done before. On my way home from Virginia, it's about a 4.5 hour ride or so, and I found the Kindlings Muse podcast, and I really loved it. This time, Earl Palmer was going over the book called The Great Divorce by C.S. Lewis. It's a small book if you've never read it, and it talks about heaven and hell in this dream that happens to a character in this book. And what's so interesting about Lewis's portrayal of heaven and hell is this trip that this man takes on a bus. He uses these concepts about heaven and hell that bring out the nature of these ideas about heaven and hell and how we experience the world, or what we might call heaven and hell, in such a unique way. I think that it's so imaginative, and it's so the concepts are so powerful. I thought it would be great to share them with you. And this podcast will be linked in the show notes too as a podcast. I didn't want to reveal more than a few minutes so you could enjoy it as it should be as a podcast in its own right. So I will share that with you now and then add a little of my own commentary at the end, a more expanded version with some of my own thoughts at the end. So enjoy this bit from The Kindlings Muse with Earl Palmer.
George MacDonald plays the key role in the rest of the story, because he is the great teacher. And a lot of things happen. For example, one of the most interesting, on page 65 of The Great Divorce, we get one of the George MacDonald teachings, or Lewis's teaching through George MacDonald when he is supposing great truths. At one point, Lewis, the narrator, that's Lewis, says, "The people are right when they say that heaven and hell are only states of mind, then. Is that right?" he says to the teacher, George MacDonald. "Hush," MacDonald said, he said sternly, "hell is a state of mind. Ye never said a truer word. And every state of mind left to itself, every shutting up of the creature within the dungeon of his own mind is, in the end, hell. But heaven is not a state of mind. Heaven is reality itself. All that is fully real is heavenly. For all that can be shaken will be shaken, and only the unshakable remains. He says, you speak it well when you say that hell is a sort of state of mind, and a little later he'll make it very, very clear one more time when the narrator or the teacher, another time that he gives more teaching on that subject. He says, what of the poor ghosts who never get in the bus at all? He asks. Everyone who wishes it does. Never fear. There are only two kinds of people in the end. Those who say to God, thy will be done. And those to whom God says in the end, thy will be done. And Lewis even wrote this in other places too. You're in heaven when we say, thy will be done. And you're in hell when God extends into eternity our will and says, your will be done. So hell then becomes the extension of what? Of our own desire to be our own Lord. In other words, the aloneness again, which is Lewis's very deep insight into what hell is. It's I myself alone. He has another place where he says, you know you're in hell when the last voice you hear is your own, just yourself speaking to you. If God is speaking to you, you're not in hell. If he's arguing with you, you're not in hell. But when he says, your will be done, you go ahead. You can be what you want. You can be your own Lord. That would be hell. Hell is when our decision to be our own Lord, to be ourself, to be under control and not submit to the truth of the gospel of God's truth, then that would be hell, and that's extended into eternity. And so Lewis toyed with that too in his supposal. So let me read that line again. He said, there are only two kinds of people in the end, those who say to God, thy will be done, and those to whom God says in the end, thy will be done. All are in hell, choose it. Without that self-choice, there would be no hell. No soul that seriously and constantly desires joy will ever miss it. Those who seek, find. Those who knock, it's open. And here the teacher is quoting our Lord in the Sermon on the Mount. If you seek and knock, you're not there. If you're asking the question, and even arguing with God, you're not in hell. Hell is where your decision that I am my own and I want that, if that was extended into eternity, that would be hell.
All right, so before I make some critique and comment of my own thoughts, I want to mention that I have edited some portions of Earl Palmer's conversation, which you can find the whole podcast in its entirety at sparkmymuse.com. And click the link to listen to this episode. The part I edited out was his comments about revelation and eternity and damnation and things like that that I don't think pertain to the topic that I wanted to cover today. It referred to his own work and not so much C.S. Lewis's work in The Great Divorce. But you can listen to that at your leisure in its entirety. Listen to the whole podcast. I strongly encourage that you do that. Some of the things that come to mind that I wanted to just clarify that I thought would be helpful is this idea of hell being essentially selfishness. I think that's a really powerful idea. The concept of hell essentially could boil down to selfishness, or the hell of self, as C.S. Lewis has called it in other places. The choice of selfishness versus picking other or God. The one critique I have, if I can be so bold, is to say that in this analogy, when we speak of, when he speaks of God speaking to us and God saying, thy will be done, when we say to God, we choose heaven when we say to God, thy will be done, and God says to us, and we pick hell when God says to us, thy will be done, we have to assume that when God says, thy will be done to us, that has to be a kind of symbolism, because we know that in reality, God we can't picture as Zeus or as a voice or as speaking to us because we can't anthropomorphize God. We can't think of God as, and this is my opinion, which you're free to disagree with, we can't think of God as a big person or this giant human Superman on a throne speaking down to us from on high. Because to think of God as a big person is a really infantile way of seeing the divine. It breaks up. It doesn't quite last. Doesn't hold up under scrutiny. Is a less mature way of seeing God. The idea of that heaven as true reality is a fantastic concept that I really appreciate, and that hell is a dungeon of the mind. I love that idea that everything that doesn't shake out is heaven, that it's this true reality, it's the unshakable things, that is reality itself is heaven, and the things that shake out don't cut it in heaven. It's the realest real things that count as heaven. Some of those concepts, they're hard to absorb, really, because when we talk about heaven, it can go in a lot of different directions. And what C.S. Lewis was talking about weren't one-to-one comparisons. He was saying, suppose heaven is like this, suppose hell is like this, and suppose we took a bus ride to heaven, and suppose this and that. It's another reason to read The Great Divorce and to appreciate the imaginative way that Lewis uses the art and the skill of writing. It opens us up to richer, deeper truths we might be able to embrace in new ways. The idea of hell being selfishness and aloneness, I think if we absorb that and take that in, we can apply that to our lives in rich ways. If we think of that not just as a cerebral concept of this abstract idea that, oh yeah, one day if I pick the blue pill instead of the red pill, I'll go to this fiery place. But the whole idea of thinking about bringing heaven to earth and banishing things that are hell, I think is the way we can move forward to make heaven come to earth, to make this earth heaven. And that's the idea that I think is the most practical, pleasing, and acceptable thing to God. And so that if you're a Christian, that would be that God's work is fulfilled in us when we make God's kingdom come to earth and that we live out the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes. But if you're not a Christian, the world is a better place when you do good things. So when we see ourselves as people who are going to choose to not be selfish, when we choose to not be selfish, we do not choose the hell of self. Because ultimately, love is the thing that makes us not alone. And when we choose love, we choose heaven. I think that's a really just a fascinating concept to not just think about, oh yeah, that's cool, but to think about it in ways like, no, what would that look like? How would we embody that? So I like to have homework on Soul School, as you know, if you've been listening at all. And so my homework is that you think of one way to embody love this week until you hear the next Soul School next week. Think of one way you can embody love this week. Write it down. Carry it out. And I will look forward very much to seeing you next week. Please stop by sparkmymuse.com and check out the show notes. Listen to the whole podcast. Help the show out just a little bit, maybe with $5. And you will be blessed and I will be blessed. Thank you for your friendship and support. Show notes for this episode can be found at sparkmymuse.com. There you'll find details for websites and people and books mentioned in this episode, and sometimes you'll find photos and videos too.